Hi, everyone. It's time for Health Essentials with Dr. Roy Morgan of Jacksonville. Here's Dr. Morgan.
Well, he's right. It is me. I am here. If you don't have anything to do today, like super, super important, I realize if you have a leak in your plumbing, you might want to work on that. But I'm going to be speaking at the Jacksonville Public Library today right at 10 o'clock. It's right across the street from the Tomato Bowl, which might actually be the most fabulous high school stadium on the planet. I mean, it's made with real stuff, rocks. It's pretty cool. All right, this program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. I came across this article that really made me intrigued. Now, let me start off by saying this right here. One of the reasons why I'm kind of devoted to thinking about this line of thinking is because people are always wondering, what's the root cause of the problem? Why does my child have these issues? And so there's a pretty common condition, at least it's been diagnosed. I mean, sometimes I think that's just the way that boys are when they're young. But they call it ADHD, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's kind of almost a little bit ridiculous to think that little boys are supposed to be super calm all the time. And you know, the brain of a little boy is just different than that of a girl. A girl can sit there and she can concentrate and focus, but a boy's brain, it probably takes, I don't know, 25 or 30 years to develop where they can really use it to its fullest potential. Anyway, I came across this article, and they're just doing two things here. There's no placebo in this study at all, which I find interesting. They're just letting parents decide, do I want to put my kid on Ritalin or Concerta or Vyvanse or what's the other one called, Adderall? Do I want to put them on that? Or do I want to, you know, look for an alternative? And guess, lo and behold, what do they offer? They offer the parents saffron. Oh, yes, the deadly crocus flower. No, I'm joking about that. I mean, there's been literally centuries where family farms in either Portugal or Spain, they have grown the crocus flower so they can dry the pistil or the center of the flower, and they can use that to get the world's most expensive spice. It's called saffron. Now, when I mention that it's the most expensive spice in the world, well, that's true, but just because it's expensive doesn't mean you can't get like a generous bottle of it, you know, of saffron with an effective dose for about $20. But you tell me, is it worth it to have a brain that works right? I looked up Ritalin a while ago. Let me read this to you first, and we'll come back to Ritalin just for a second. It says children and teenagers with moderate ADHD, that means according to their teachers or maybe family members, they don't function really well. So, but in this study, they're saying that children with ADHD, a moderate, not a mild, they respond equally well. I want you to listen to that word again. The word is called equally. That means one is not superior to the other as far as the outcome, unless you want to look at the side effects. That's where the two will definitely separate themselves. And also just the... Anyway, we'll get into that in just a second. So there's a medication containing methylphenidate. That's basically methamphetamines. That's the active ingredient in Ritalin. And they compare it against supplementation with a natural substance that comes from the crocus flower called saffron. Have you ever had saffron rice before? Most people have. According to a 2022 Spanish pilot study, both of these drugs, and they're calling saffron a drug, I don't agree with that, it's not a drug, they convert moderate ADHD into mild, which makes their symptoms mild. Well, this is what I find interesting. I went to Wikipedia.com and I looked up Ritalin, which is a pretty common drug. I just wonder how many kids in the public school system are on these drugs just so they can function. Well, first side effect of taking Ritalin is you can develop insomnia. You can become extremely irritable. I don't know about you, but who wants to be around an irritable person all day long? I'm not saying there's a choice. I'm just saying, if you had your wish and somebody was functioning optimally, you know, they were in a good mood, pretty good behavior. You don't expect anybody to be perfect, right? Able to concentrate and get along with others. Emotions are good. The mind is good. Or you have somebody that's irritable all the time. Well, that's a pretty big deal killer. They also can have a loss of appetite. But get this right here. One study shows that if you take Ritalin for 3 years, you're going to lose a centimeter off your potential height. So that means you're going to end up being a lot shorter than maybe other people that don't take Ritalin. This just blows my mind right here. If you take Ritalin for 10 years during the growing years, you're going to lose 3 centimeters of your height. 3 centimeters. Maybe we can find out who took Ritalin as a child or not, just by based on their height. I don't know. Here's the title of the article right here. Effectivity of saffron extract on treatment for children and adolescents with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or known as ADHD, and they put a clinical effectivity study that was published in the journal Nutrients, September the 28th, 2022, volume 14. Anyway, you can look it up if you want to. But, you know, if you're listening this morning, maybe you're a grandmother, you're a mother, you're a sister, maybe you're an aunt, a cousin, or maybe you're a school teacher and you know some kids that really struggle. Well, I just want you to listen to this with a fresh set of ears and just tell me what you think about this, okay? Researchers at the Hospital Universitario Puerta de Hierro Malahanda, I butchered that, sorry about that, they gave 27 children, there were 27 children and teenagers anywhere between 7 years old all the way up to 17, they were diagnosed with ADHD, they gave them Ritalin for 3 months. And at the same time, they had exactly 34 other children and teenagers that had a diagnosis of ADHD take a capsule of 30 milligrams of saffron extract. Comes from the crocus flower. So 30 milligrams. They took it one time a day, just with their evening meal. I kind of like that. But I thought to myself when I read that, because I've read quite a bit about saffron, I find it very, very interesting and very intriguing. Of course, for me, one of the reasons I like that stuff is I don't know of anybody that ever has a side effect to it. Now, Ritalin, yeah, it stunts your growth, you become irritable, you can't sleep, loss of appetite. That's no good. But I thought to myself, 30 milligrams, I thought, is that really enough to get the job done? Well, evidently, according to the study, it is. I'm kind of surprised by that. I thought it would be at least about 3 times that amount. Now, I'm basing that on looking at other studies when they treat, or one of the treatments for kids that have horrible panic attacks and anxiety or depression, or they have attachment disorders and they're untrusting of any adult human being because of the abuse they've had. Usually, they'll use quite a bit more saffron than that. And I'm not really aware of a person taking saffron and having any horrible side effects. I try to ask everybody. I mean, trust me, there are plenty of things out there that are natural and they're actually very good. But depending on the circumstances, if you take too much of them, you may have to run to the bathroom more than once, which I don't want to sabotage somebody. But anyway, I thought to myself, okay, so here's the deal. They either give them Ritalin, or they give them 30 milligrams of saffron with their evening meal. Now, this part is interesting right here, and I like this very, very much, because I think, ultimately, it's the job of the parents to decide, what am I going to do? How am I going to help myself? I want to have a good life. I want to be able to function mentally, emotionally. I want my attitude to be good. What type of life do I want to live while I'm here on earth? Of course, we're here to serve God, right? Listen to this right here. The children and their parents, they decided for themselves, I think I like that, whether to take a supplement or a medication. So you remember what I said, 27 of the children and the parents decided we're going to take Ritalin, while 34 decided all they wanted to do was take Sevron in place of Ritalin. So you have two opposing treatment plans here. Does that make sense? Now, they go on to say that there was no placebo group, so the study was open label. You could just say they're comparing the results according to questionnaires. Sevron versus Ritalin. They did go on to say that the Sevron, let me see, contains 3% of the active ingredient called crocin, and its analogs, I think one of them is called safranol. Oh yeah, it says right here, it had at least 2% safranol. I don't know if that information interests you, but they're just trying to say on the label, you know, from the manufacturer, at least it has enough of the active ingredients to do what they want to do. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, this part right here, I'm going to try hard not to go overboard. But in the human body, God is designed within our nervous system. We need these chemicals called neurotransmitters for us to function at our very best level. Okay? And so they're saying right now that the active substances that are found in saffron, that's called crocin and safranol, they mimic the action of what's called GABA. That's an acronym for gamma-aminobutyric acid. And in the brain. And you know what that does in the brain? It calms it down. Have you ever been around a brain that's just out of control and they can't be consoled or calmed down? Well, just maybe they might need to have a little bit of gamma-aminobutyric acid. Okay. That's one point right there. So I know I'm saying this like, I'm probably making this like a great oversimplification. I know you can kind of forgive me for that. But they're saying that if it calms the brain down naturally without any side effects, is that a good thing? Number two, going back to neurotransmitters. So, for example, some of the common neurotransmitters that we might talk about day in, day out might be everything from serotonin. So, for example, if a person suffered horrible depression or anxiety or panic attacks, they might actually have a deficiency of serotonin. And you might remember that usually when when a human being has plenty of serotonin, you know, the neurotransmitter, they tend to feel like everything's going to go well that day. Everything's got a beautiful outlook. I'm going to be able to handle whatever comes up, but if you've got a lack of serotonin, you're thinking to yourself, oh no, today is going to be horrible. There is a black cloud of depression hanging over me. That would be the lack of serotonin. So they're saying that saffron, it inhibits the reuptake of the neurotransmitter serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine in the brain cells. I find that so interesting. That really is. And it moderates glutamate activity. You ever heard of somebody consuming monosodium glutamate and then having a headache or having a seizure? Yeah, it's bad. It's a chemical they add to food to kind of trick you into thinking it tastes better than what it really does. So basically, this is the nuts and bolts of it. If your only takeaway is this, when you take saffron, it tends to counteract this overstimulation and also improves mood and attention. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty good. Now, here's the test results. I can't show you the graph or the chart. Nor do I want to. There's just too many numbers and too much print. Sometimes I just like getting down to the nitty-gritty, like, what does this mean? How do we apply it? How's it going to help us? But they're saying that basically there's no difference statistically in the outcome between using saffron and Ritalin. Okay? So they get the same result. Now, the side effects, that's a whole different ball of wax. Now, both drugs, according to the questionnaires they use, completed by the children's parents, they increase sleep duration by 1 hour. Now, to me, that could be an important point. You tell me, does a 7-year-old or 8-year-old child, whether it's a girl or boy, Do they need more sleep than an adult does? Yes, they do. I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head, how much sleep does a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old need? They probably need 10 or 11 hours a night. That's just normal for them. They might need to go to bed a little bit earlier and wake up just a little bit later to give their brain every possible chance to develop and grow properly. And are they going to need that brain in this world that we're living in? Oh my goodness, yes. And so, but listen to this right here. Now, both of them increase sleep duration by 1 hour, but get this right here. Only saffron reduced the time it took the children to fall asleep. You might want to make a note of that, whether you're an adult or you're a child. Yeah, I may have a 7-year-old listening to me right now taking notes. But when they took the saffron, the children fell asleep, whether they were 7 or 17 or somewhere in between, 15 minutes earlier. Now, this is kind of a big deal. Do you want to lay in bed for like 1 hour before you fall asleep? No. That is not a healthy brain. You want to fall asleep as quickly as possible. I don't have any problem with it taking a child 5 minutes to fall asleep, or 30 seconds. It's fine by me. Once you lay your head on the pillow, it'd be perfectly fine by me if I just went into deep restorative sleep. Isn't that interesting? Now, this one right here I think is interesting also. They showed that sleep duration, it was about 60 minutes longer with the saffron. Now, with the Ritalin, it was too. But they didn't fall asleep any earlier, so you can just kind of take that for what it is, but I find that very interesting. Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the chart right here. They look at inattention, hyperactivity. Both of them score the same, but here's the bottom line right here. Even though this is one unique pilot study, I mean, this is so interesting. What if you could use something that's relatively cheap? It's really easy to get, especially today. You can order anything you want off the internet, but it doesn't have any horrific side effects. Like, it's not going to make your son or your daughter shorter than what their full God-given potential is. So in this study, it shows that saffron works every bit as good as Ritalin, but it doesn't have any side effects. Anyway, that came from the journal Nutrients 2022. Okay, this next one, oh my goodness, there's no lack of good information. Every time I come across one of these studies, sometimes it'll catch my eye and I'll look at it and I'll go, oh, that's really not relevant to me. And I hate to admit this, but I looked at this one like 3 or 4 times before I decided to even talk about it. And the bottom line is, I should have talked about this a whole lot earlier. So, here we are. You're listening to the radio program this morning. I'm your host, Roy Morgan. This program's Health Essentials. And obviously, you know me well enough to know that I want to talk about things that I think just about anybody can do. So when I mention saffron, that's something anybody has access to. All you have to do is buy some and start taking it. I just, from that last study, I just questioned, was 30 milligrams enough? You know, when I walk away from a study like that, I always think, what if they had used 88.5 milligrams and they used more and they got more? I wonder if the results would have been superior. So it's fine with me if they do a follow-up study. And if it can be determined that there's a dose dependent, but it's just so interesting. Now, here's another one right here. This is about magnesium. When I quit finding interesting studies about magnesium and I quit finding a usefulness for it to help people get better, then I'll quit talking about it. But I think I've kind of beat this with a stick over and over again, but this is from a different angle right here. And as far as I can tell, I don't think I've ever read anything quite like this. This comes from the European Journal of Nutrition 2023. I think it was published August, so it's brand new. Well, it's a couple of years old, but still, that's brand new. Here's the title of the article. It doesn't say supplementation with magnesium. All it's saying is dietary magnesium intake. You know what dietary magnesium intake means? That means you're eating foods that come from the soil, like green leafy vegetables. Maybe you're going to eat some pistachios or some macadamia nuts, and they have magnesium. Or you're going to have some dark chocolate today, and that may have some magnesium. Or some flounder, or maybe a steak, and that'll have some magnesium in it. Here's the title right here. Dietary magnesium intake is related to larger brain volumes and lower white matter lesions with notable sex differences. That means there's a difference between men and women. Is that too much for a title? Maybe it is. Here's a study right here. You know, if you're age 65 or above, or 61 or above and listening to this, you know what? The ball's in your court. What are you going to do with the information you got? You going to use it? Well, I sure hope so. That's the reason I'm bringing this up. In the year 2023, there was a researcher by the name of Koala Altik, an epidemiologist at the Australian National University. So this is an Australian study. He published an analysis of data collected in the United Kingdom Biobank study in the European Journal of Nutrition. Altik used data from 6,001 Britons. What was their ages, you ask? Well, between 40 years of age and 73 years of age. So these weren't people in the middle part of their life. They were past that. They were on the back side of life. And so if the average age of a man here in Texas, his lifespan is going to be 74 years of age. Well, it didn't take a genius to figure out then 37 years of age, that would be middle-aged. All these people were past middle age, obviously at 73. According to this research, that's kind of getting at the end of a person's lifespan. Okay? So they answered questionnaires about their diet. That's how they got this information. To the best of my knowledge, no magnesium supplements at all. Now, what they did was, in this study, these were people that had undergone two separate MRI scans. That stands for magnetic resonance imaging. It's actually a very cool test. We had one when I was in school. I used to hang out back there because I made friends with a radiologist, and so she would let me come back there, and I get to see all the images and pictures. Man, I saw some strange things on the MRI, but that was back in the middle 1980s when it came out, or at least when I was exposed to it. So they had two separate MRIs, these 6,000 individuals did. They were spaced about 4 to 8 years apart. So isn't that a pretty cool way that we can do the initial MRI and we can do a follow-up for comparison, okay? And so they did make a point in this particular study that the study participants had no known neurological or psychiatric complaints or psychiatric issues. Maybe the key is no known. No, I'm just trying to be funny. Okay. Now, whether or not that the participants used magnesium supplements, that's not known. I looked for it everywhere. I couldn't find it. And the questionnaires the participants completed, they did not account for taking any magnesium as a supplement or another formula that may have had a high amount of magnesium in it, because those are available also. Therefore, the study participants with a high intake of magnesium, they consumed lots of products such as, you know, dark green leafy vegetables. You always remember that. Why is spinach and kale and Brussels sprouts and asparagus green? Why is broccoli green? Because it contains chlorophyll. At the very center of every molecule of that pigment that gives a plant a green color, that's magnesium. Magnesium is found there. So they say vegetables like spinach, legumes, that's going to be beans, peas, nuts and seeds, dark chocolate, that's pretty rich. That's pretty common for a person that's has insufficient amount of magnesium in their body to crave dark chocolate or to crave chocolate. The reason I say dark chocolate is you're better off. If you can be satisfied with dark chocolate, good. But all the other sugar and the junk in there, you don't need. So you don't need milk chocolate. Anyway, Here's the results right here. The researchers make the point that brain aging is associated with shrinkage of parts of the brain. That means the brain atrophies, it gets smaller, that's not good. And that corresponds to the amount of damage. Okay? You're not getting off this earth alive. Nobody is. Now, they're saying that the rate of this aging decreased with higher magnesium intake. That's what I want you to take with you right now. If you hone in on one thing I'm saying, just think magnesium is going to protect my brain from premature aging and damage. Please, the world needs you. You've got to have your brain working in good working order. Okay. I'm not going to read that. That's just too much information. But let me try to simplify the chart. It says, click on the tables for a larger version. Well, it's a sheet of paper. I can't do that, but I get it's on a computer. Okay, so first thing they noticed in people that had a higher intake of magnesium, the gray matter of the brain, the volume was much better. It actually increased with magnesium. Now, if that had decreased, that's what you see with a disease. That's what you see with brain diseases or problems developing in the brain. So what's the interpretation? Well, the more gray matter you have, that indicates a better overall brain health and a processing capacity. I can't afford to lose any gray matter. Okay? Next thing right here, they compared a midline brain structure. It's called the hippocampus. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but there's a pretty well-studied disease known as Alzheimer's. And one of the hallmarks of Alzheimer's might be something as simple as they tell you something and they have completely forgotten they told you that very thing, and they will repeat themselves just a few minutes later or sometimes 30 seconds later without any ability to understand they just told you that thing. Now, I've experienced that firsthand. Well, I mean, by observing others with Alzheimer's. They could tell you a story, and within 30 seconds, they're repeating themselves, and they're telling you the same story as if it's a brand new story to you. But one of the ways that they determine if a person has Alzheimer's is they'll do a very specific diagnostic test called an MRI. Sort of just talked about that. And they'll measure the size of the hippocampus. And the hippocampus is going to be a region of the brain where short-term memory is relayed and stored and processed. Are you with me on that? What do you think it means if the hippocampus shrinks or atrophies by about 18%? Well, it's pretty much the gold standard. That means you've got Alzheimer's. So what I'm getting at is you want to maintain your muscles, you want to maintain heart function, but you want to maintain the health and the size of the brain. So when they measure the hippocampus, those that had a high intake or a better intake of magnesium from their diet, the volume of the left hippocampus improved. And what that suggests is improved memory-related brain structure. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Then they jumped over to the right half of the hippocampus. That'd be on the right side of your brain, you know, when you're in your right mind. And they said that's the strongest hippocampal effect linked to memory and spatial navigation. I thought, okay, maybe it's someone that can't determine which way to go or they're directionally challenged. Maybe it's their hippocampus that's not working right. How about that? Now, this other one I like also. They're measuring for brain lesions of the white matter. Oh, my goodness. Magnesium protects against that. So guess what? When you eat plenty of foods that contain magnesium, you get to preserve the white matter of your brain. That means your fewer lesions equals less structural brain damage. I can't be the only one. Surely, I don't know how many hundreds of times over my lifetime that I visited a nursing home facility, or if you want to say like an assisted living, but mainly nursing homes. I used to go many, I've been just many times for for a specific reason, sometimes to visit others, sometimes to deliver a lesson or to take communion or, you know, things like check on people. But, man, I know what it looks like in there. And you can tell when somebody, they just don't have their mental faculties. Their brain's not working right. So that's why I'm bringing this up right here. Why don't we take steps today? See, what you do today can make a difference for tomorrow and for the next 20 years. Okay, so anyway, this is the other part that I find interesting. You know, the U.S. government and several scientific organizations, they've determined you need to get about 350 milligrams a day. But after reading this right here, I'm kind of asking myself, well, what if we just took a little bit extra magnesium? And a lot of these things they haven't done studies on. So initially, these researchers, they thought that maybe the magnesium might protect the brain by lowering blood pressure. Because high blood pressure, you know what they call that? They call that the silent killer. However, this study, there wasn't a significant, the magnesium from the diet, not supplements, but from the diet, it really didn't show to make such a significant difference on the people's blood pressure. So kind of move beyond that. So this is what the researchers think now. Now, this is interesting to me. So the researchers believe that they think that magnesium primarily slows brain aging by lowering what's called C-reactive protein levels and other inflammatory markers. You know, a lot of people that are curious, they'll walk in my door and say, hey, Dr. Morgan, is inflammation the root cause of everything? And I'll say, yeah, that means your body's in disrepair. So how do we get your body back into better working order? Well, magnesium is a pretty powerful role player. If you would like to join me on the radio right now, I can take a phone call. I just looked at the clock. I've been talking for 32 minutes. So if you'll consider calling me with your questions or your comments, I'd be happy to take your phone call. The number here at the station is area code 903-589-8507. And there is a phone line open in case you want to call in. And someone's calling the wrong number. The number to get into the program is 903-589-8507. So if you will, ma'am, call the 903-589-8507. There we go. Perfect. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. My daughter and I was actually just driving to the vet with our dog and was talking about the magnesium. And I was wondering if there's a certain brand that you would recommend. I'm hearing a lot about the stuff that you buy on the counter is not really, you know, has the content that we need in it.
Well, if you'll come to the Jacksonville Public Library today at 10 o'clock, I'll discuss that with you. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking with you. You know what? Because that's one of my things I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the worst form of magnesium and how you even get results with it. I know that's a horrible thing to tell you, but I came across this article where they showed people that take magnesium oxide, even they get very, very impressive results out of it. And that's not the form that I'd recommend. So if you were to look online, I don't know that the brand is as important as the... I mean, maybe the brand is important, but... it's the form of magnesium. So I'm a huge fan. I like magnesium glycinate. I see good results with that. I use a lot of magnesium lactate. I think I've personally gone through about 20,000 bottles of it. And I use another one, and this one's a different concept. They grow plants in a field where the soil is rich in magnesium, and then they put it in capsule form. So it's just vegetable plant matter that's rich in magnesium. It's a one called Easy Mag. I think I took like about 6 last night before I went to bed. And then those are the ones that I use the most and that I see good results with.
Okay. Well, I haven't been taking it. I'm 41 years old, and past 2 weeks I've probably had 7 older people telling me, you know, I need to start taking magnesium, and then we turn the radio on and you're talking about it. So it's like,
well, that's another confirmation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, see, the thing of it is, from what I'm explaining this morning, if you do that, What if you could keep your brain and your body in such good working order that you could work as long as you want, you could be as productive, and you could help everybody else, and you could make the world a better place? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
It absolutely would. Instead of wearing yourself down trying to do it.
Amen. So keep it. I'm glad you asked that question. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. I think if I wanted to find one particular way to destroy the magnesium levels of the body, I would choose either Red Bull, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Monster drinks. That would pretty much do it. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Wow, great show today. The saffron, I wish I'd known about that about 15 years ago with my son when he was going through
autism
and all of that.
I so appreciate you bringing that up, but I'm just like you. If I didn't know about that, but I read it just today for the first time, I'm going, okay, I wish I'd known about that also, but today's the day I do.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I called a couple of weeks ago about my LDL, very low LDL, and you told me to go get that test, and so I did. And my test came back. I was telling you that my calcium scoring was zero.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
And it was 10 years later, still zero. But my ApoB was up 158, which was high.
Well, it's a little bit high. You're right.
Okay. So what do I do to, or do I need to do something to reduce that?
What's
the best way to do that?
One of the questions that I'm going to ask you, I promise you, I don't mean to be judgmental or hypercritical. I'm not trying to dig on you and make you look bad, but are you physically fit?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do to keep yourself fit? Do you mind if I ask? You don't have to be perfect.
I walk mostly. My dog about three to 5 miles a day.
That's awesome.
And I'm 129 pounds.
Can you squat to the ground easily?
Yes.
Do you have good strong legs and knees and thighs and gluteus muscles?
Yes, sir.
One of the studies that I looked at not that terribly long ago, they looked at grip strength in women. And they have this device called a grip dynamometer. They sell them super, super cheap on Amazon or eBay or probably Walmart.com. But for $30, you can squeeze this device. It can tell you how strong your grip is on your right and your left. Well, that's like it's kind of a proxy for the strength of the entire body because there's a lot of moving parts with a hand. But with women, boy, I like them to be at least 55 or above.
Okay. Well, I've had that test done prior because when I worked for the post office, I injured my shoulder. So in the rehabilitation of that, they would test my strength in my hands, but that's not something I've checked lately.
Okay, so if I more directly answer your question, what about the higher levels of apolipoprotein B? And can I just give you two or three ideas? And I'm not saying any of them are relevant, but this is kind of pretty common. Do you know what the word sediment means?
Yeah, sediment, like stuff in the bottom.
Yeah, so you have a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
And the glass that's holding the water is just perfectly crystal clear. And then a one-year-old walks up to your glass of water sitting on the coffee table, and they have a bunch of crackers in their mouth, and they think it's a great idea to take a sip of your water. Do you see the picture?
Yes, very, very clearly, or very sedimentally.
And so when you decide it's your turn to take a drink of water, you pick it up and you notice there's some things swirling around in that water.
Yes.
And you're probably going, well, you know, I think I'm going to let the toddler have it.
Yes,
anyway,
that.
My point is, I made the comment earlier that we're not getting on this earth, we're not getting off of the earth alive. Everybody's going to die. And that's one of the things that happens is we tend to build up waste that we don't remove or clean out. And so my purpose in saying that is one of the terms that I've read here, I'm going to say fairly recently, a term that I've seen used in textbooks. They call it metabolic sediment. And just play along with me like this is going to make sense. But what happens is we consume water, we breathe in oxygen, and we take in food. And all those things are essential. You can't live without them. The problem is we may not be able to completely remove and eliminate all the waste and the toxins and the debris as well as we should. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes.
So sometimes that's what I think of when I think of higher levels of apolipoprotein B, is we may have higher levels of old cholesterol waste that needs to be scrubbed out and removed. So let me give you two or three ideas, okay?
Okay.
There is a plant that grows really well in dark soil. It's called the soybean plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that they can very simply extract from a soybean is called lecithin.
Right.
And sometimes I think of lecithin like I would make kind of a mental image of Dawn dishwashing liquid. It's blue. Lecithin's not blue, by the way. But, you know, if you had like so much dirt and debris on your dirt and debris, why am I saying that? If you had like lasagna or something, gooey stuff all over your plates, couldn't you put some Dawn on there and scrub those plates clean? Wouldn't it be able to attach to the greasy stuff and remove it, and you could wash it down the drain? Well, I think of lecithin as the Dawn dishwashing liquid of the arteries to scrub out old cholesterol.
Okay. And so do you just buy that in a pill form?
Yes, ma'am. And so depending on the individual, it may be that it takes a while for it to work. But one thing that could happen is you could see a significant reduction in what's called your LDL, or your low-density lipoprotein, and you could see your apolipoprotein B begin to diminish. Okay?
Okay.
Number two, I don't know that I'm going in order in my mind, but I'm just kind of telling you what I'm thinking about.
Okay.
You've heard of vitamin C, haven't you?
Yes. I take that every day.
Okay. So if you were to look at that lipid panel, one of the markers that they look at, instead of HDL or LDL, they have one called VLDL.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so when that one tends to be the number 21 or above 21, I know that's still the normal range according to them, but you're going to find that gunk and debris forms or builds up in the arteries, and you just don't get rid of it if it's 21 or above. So you want that below 21. So vitamin C can play a role in that, in helping to keep your arteries clean. The other thing that I might think of is what's called vitamin K2.
Vitamin what?
It's called K2.
Okay.
I'm saying K2 instead of saying minoquinone 4 or minoquinone 7. No one's going to remember that. But if I say vitamin K2, and always, you know, and as I tell you these things, just like I talked about the magnesium, there may be a Goldilocks just right that might be more than just what the RDA tells us or what science tells us. We might actually do better with a little bit more, and I'm okay with that idea because, you know, I'm around people all day long, and we start to figure out, you know what, Dr. Morgan, I do better if I take 4 capsules of magnesium instead of 2, and I'm going, that's interesting. How are you better? Well, I sleep better at night. I'm able to poop in the morning. Sorry, I didn't mean that in a bad way. It's just that's the language everybody uses.
Yeah.
Except proper ladies. They never use that term, but men do all day long. The other thing that I think of, there is a substance known as buckwheat. You may have heard of buckwheat pancakes or buckwheat waffles. And it has nothing to do with wheat. It's not wheat flour. It doesn't come from the grain. It's none of that. It's a plant that has these beautiful little flowers, and honeybees love it. So sometimes you might even go to a store on the side of the road and find buckwheat honey, and it's like to be desired. But buckwheat is probably the highest natural concentration of a flavonoid called quercetin, or its analog, which is what I'm building to, is called rutin. R-U-T-I-N. Rutin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit different than saying I'm rooting for you, but that's still the same, pronounce it the same way. But rutin is one of those flavonoids that if you take it long enough, you're giving your body each and every opportunity to remove old cholesterol deposits that might be in the endothelium or the lining of your arteries or capillary beds.
Okay.
Zinc is a mineral that it also plays a role in this. So I'm always a huge fan of the high sulfur foods. Anytime you have a problem with cholesterol and you don't know what to do about it, you can't go wrong by consuming high sulfur foods. That's going to be onions and garlic and asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage.
Interesting. Okay.
See, you got excited when I said onions because you knew I was going to lead into the next conversation of you should be eating a meal.
Liver
of,
and onions.
Ma'am, you've heard this program before, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're better at the delivery than I am.
Can I take a liver supplement? Does it have to
of
be
course, of course. Now I know why Luby's went out of business. No, that's just a joke. Actually, I
ate the macaroni and cheese.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that, ma'am.
I know.
So rutin is one of those things. There's, like anything else, there's a therapeutic range for it. So taking buckwheat, it might prove to be, that and soybean lecithin, it might prove to be very, very beneficial to you.
Okay. All right. So, well, I know that at one point I was taking a Synergy K.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
that's the one that's going to be a more therapeutic dose. That's probably going to give you the biggest bang for the buck, the Synergy K.
Okay.
Because if you just get regular K2 at the grocery store, it may be such a low dose. There's just not enough in it to really do what it's supposed to do.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's some helpful information. And if you were going to, if you were going to go after, like, two of the strongest choices other than the food, high sulfur food.
Oh, I'd use the rutin and the soybean lecithin.
Okay.
I mean, you don't feel like I'm sitting here at the radio station trying to overpromise or guarantee this or that.
No, there's a lot of moving
parts with this, but if it was me, that's what I would go with, and I would just give it enough time to work.
Right, and start something, see where those two things go and see if there's improvement.
I hate it. But it's the way it is. But the American mentality is, I want to get rich quick. I want to be on top of the world in one day. I don't want to have to work 20 years for it. And they feel the same way about health. So now you know why we have all these high-end luxury ERs everywhere in the universe. Because everybody wants great treatment. Of course, I don't want to pay the $8,500 bill for a cold. But, you know, they got to do a CAT scan if you got a sinus infection, right?
Right.
Yeah, but everybody wants a quick fix, but I don't think that's the way this works. I think it's going to be dedication and consistency and patience and effort.
I just wish I had the knowledge to ask for the VLDL when they did my blood work the last time.
Well, you'll do that the next time.
Yeah.
And that'll be fine. So another way of saying this is it may be that the soybean lecithin and the rutin that comes from buckwheat, it may be that is just enough to help assist your body in removing any harmful metabolites that may need to be scrubbed clean. I kind of made that too wordy, didn't I?
The blood donation help with that as well?
Quite possibly, yes. Absolutely it does. As long as you have enough hemoglobin, I think for a woman she's going to be at least 12 and a half before they'll let her give blood. But yeah, giving blood.
Yesterday, and it was 13.8.
Okay. So. You're good to go. Yeah, giving blood is brilliant.
Okay.
Let me write this down real quick, okay? I got to make a note. It's 7:49, and I'm talking to a genius on the radio. Okay, I got it. Just made a notation.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the air, there's a phone line open. There's about 10 minutes left, or 8.5. All right, the number is 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Thanks for your phone call, buddy.
I am taking Flomax. It's another name, Tamsulosin, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a, I can't empty my bladder often enough.
How long has that been going on for?
Oh, a few months, quite a few months. Not years, but months.
Good.
And the side effects are, grogginess and maybe a headache in the mornings. And I just wondered if there's any other options you might suggest.
Well, number one at the top of the list, I would reduce carbohydrates or sugar as much as humanly possible.
Okay.
In the back of my mind, like in the most rearward recesses that I can barely draw up, I remember reading a study probably 25 years ago from Canada, and all they did was they looked at men with prostate problems and carbohydrate consumption, and the two things they did... Okay, he hung up on me because I said Canada. Evidently, that was offensive. Sorry about that. No, I'm just joking. Surely, that's just the way it works. Things happen. But to make a long story short, in the study from Canada, it showed that if men walked for 45 minutes a day, there was an improvement in all the parameters of the prostate. So you can't tell me there's not something to do with blood flow and oxygen and strength. There just is. If it was me, boy, I would seriously look into what are called pelvic floor, or maybe I'll just call them hip mobility exercises. So if you went to the website called YouTube and you typed in Moves Method Hip Mobility Exercises, you'd be a lot better off when it comes to your prostate health. But if you can get rid of sugar and grains that convert into sugar, you're going to be ahead of everybody else. I can just about guarantee it. But in my mind, here's what I would think of. And I realize I'm playing the other side of the angle, and you're going to say, well, you're a hypocrite, Dr. Morgan. Well, maybe, but I'm not so sure that I wouldn't take like a 2 or 3 ounce shot of pomegranate juice every day. There's a component that's found in pomegranate. I believe it's called urolithin A. That has been shown to be phenomenal for the human organism or the human body or for your health. I'm not trying to overpromise it, but there's something about pomegranate that seems to be very beneficial to the health of the prostate. Does that make sense? Two other things that come to my mind, and I know you've seen these. I know you've gone walking in the woods and you've come across bull nettle. Have you ever had bull nettle wrap itself around your leg? You won't ever forget it. But sometimes it's called stinging nettle. But you can get that. You can get stinging nettle in the form of a capsule. It's not going to sting you. But that, for some men, is very good nutrition and help for the prostate. You could easily take saw palmetto. You could take an herb called African pygium. I think bee pollen is worth a try. Bee pollen is definitely worth a trial. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Can you give me your office phone number?
Yes, ma'am. You got a pencil handy?
Yes.
All right, 586, I'm sorry, area code 903?
Yes.
586?
Yes.
8114.
8114. Okay. And just call early in the morning for an appointment. See you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Call today if you want to.
Today?
Yeah. I mean, if you call at 10 o'clock, I'll be at the Jacksonville Public Library, so I can't get the phone then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you can call, leave a message. If I don't answer the phone, just leave a message and I'll call you right back.
Oh, all right then. Yes, thank you so much.
You betcha.
I need to see you because whatever I'm doing, I'm not doing right.
Well, we need to find a way to get you back on track, right?
Right, yes. Okay, then.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Dr.
Yes, thank you very much for your call. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. The phone line is officially open with 3 minutes left to go. That's plenty of time for a phone call. Maybe we can just jump right into it and get right to the point real quick. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. My brother recommended you to me about my health issues, hoping you might be able to help.
Sure. What do you got?
I have nerve damage in the spine. My nerves are covered in calcium.
You must have had a horrific injury.
No, I lifted something about 20 pounds, and it threw my back out. That's when I got diagnosed with all this.
Well, the body's response to chronic inflammation that doesn't go away is calcification. That means your body's going to calcify anything that stays inflamed and doesn't repair.
So how can I get rid of it?
Okay, you realize I don't know anything about you. Are you doing any type of body work right now? Are you doing any type of exercise regimen to restore your health?
Yes.
Okay.
I've done exercise all my life.
Okay, so if I had your blood labs in front of me, one of the markers I would look for is one called C-reactive protein. I would also want them to measure what's called serum magnesium. That's very easy. I didn't say it's cheap. It might cost like close to $30, but it's worth it to find out. Because with a lack of magnesium in the human body, it's very easy for calcifications to build up. They go in the wrong place. So you got to have vitamin. You can have your vitamin D3 levels checked. You can have a C-reactive protein. Do you have any other issues that you know of besides the calcification in your spine?
Yes, I do. I have two herniated discs. I have arthritis in the spine. I have curvature of the spine and narrowing of the spine.
Well, do they call your condition ankylosing spondylitis?
That I do not know.
Okay. So that hasn't crossed their lips when they've told you about your back, right?
Right.
Okay, well, with 1 minute left, here's what I'm going to say. There's a Goldilocks just right amount of what are called omega-3 fatty acids. If you don't know what your levels are, they're easy to test. I think there's several labs that charge about $50 to do it. But if you get to the number 12, that means the percentage of the cell membrane of omega-3s at 12%, that's like the Goldilocks just right when it comes to inflammation. There's a vitamin called vitamin K2. K2, when you have plenty of it, that prevents the deposition of calcium into the joints, or, like you said, it bad arthritis. Does that sort of make sense?
Yep.
Okay, if I had to tell you what type of diet to eat, it's probably going to be more of a meat-based diet with vegetables and berries. That's probably about the simplest, most straightforward that I can. And unfortunately,
I can just chicken and creamy corn and sweet peas.
Well, unfortunately, we are all out of time, so if you will, save your questions, call me back next week, and we'll kind of pick it up, and we'll have more time to spend, okay?
Okay, though.
All right, thanks, buddy. Bye. And to you, thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate your help today. Thank you.
I hope you have a lovely day. Oh, thank you, ma'am. You too. God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
This has been Health Essentials with Dr. Roy Morgan of Jacksonville. Health Essentials can be heard twice every weekend on KBJS, Saturdays at 7 a.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. You can also hear the Health Essentials podcast by visiting kbjs.org. Thanks for joining KBJS for Health Essentials.